traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians of all breeds. This is Scott Miller coming back to you again after taking a long time off, a hiatus, you might say. I've been battling cancer for the last year and was down and out and got through my therapy, the whole nine yards. I was in ICU for 12 days, in the hospital 2.5 months after my 8-month stay in the hospital. And I'm walking again and talking again and ready to get back into the equestrian industry. Missed everybody. Glad to be back and hope you join us here on BBS Radio and IEN TV. Glad to be here with you. Our call-in number is 823-744-4831 if you ever want to call in. You can call, or you can call me directly after the show's over at 561-466-1272. That's right here at our office here in Delray Beach, Florida. And on today's program, we're just going to kind of tell you what International Equine Network is all about. The International Equine Network is a company I formed many years ago. I was riding up and down the highways, going to the different horse racing events and all the equestrian venues. And so I got to thinking about what could I do that would bring me close to all of the equine industry and just not part of it. I'm a thoroughbred man by heart. That's what I was raised and groomed for. And we were very successful at it throughout the years. And so I had a lot of time to think. And so I started thinking about creating a network of equine information of all breeds. And so that's how the International Equine Network came about. I was really getting into simulcasting. And my first project was flying turns that we did with Steve Wolf back in, back in the day, this was in the early 90s that we did this. It was called Flying Turns, and it was from Freehold Raceway in Freehold, New Jersey. And it was standardbreds. And we did a series of several pilot programming. And it was designed for distribution to Eastern Europe and to Europe. And this was before simulcasting really hit the road running. And what we did from a technical aspect of it is we had to figure out how to get the signal over to Eastern Europe and to Europe. And a lot of the facilities did not have the capabilities of receiving a satellite signal. And so we got to thinking about it, and I talked to Steve Wolf and several other people that were in the business. And so we figured out a way what we would do, how we would do it. So what we did is we took the signal from Freehold and we sent it up to a satellite, and then we brought the satellite down in Europe. And again, like I said, a lot of the facilities, or just about all the facilities, did not have, a dish to receive the signal. So what I started doing then was I fiber optics from the receiving station in Europe, in Eastern Europe, out to the different venues, which they all had fiber optics. And so it was very successful. And then with the different government changes and things of that nature, what we had to do is, reconstruct everything. And, it was just a nightmare. The logistics were solved, but it was the legal aspect of it. So long story short, we put it on the shelf, and that was back in the mid-90s. And so we kept working on it, and I kept going with it, and I had a lot of good people around me to give me advice and help me out with what we were doing. So eventually, the internet came around, and television came around, and we started working with it. And so I named it the International Equine Network. And what I wanted to do with it was become the largest equine information center in the world. That's still my goal. And how do I do that? It takes a lot of cooperation from a lot of people. So I started talking with the different associations, like a lot of the Thoroughbred associations, the United States Equestrian Federation, the FEI, the polo people, the sales people, Fasig Tipton and Ocala Breeder Sales and Goffs over in Europe. And I said, what can we do to make this thing work, to get the information to equestrians of all breeds? And I just didn't want to be a single website like just for thoroughbreds only. Because I wanted to get out to all the equestrians throughout the world. And so that's why I started talking to the different organizations. And so when you come to the International Equine Network, you're going to find out that you have a link to just about any and every equestrian discipline and breed that there are throughout the world. And it's a one-stop shop type thing. So I started putting it together, and I said, this is going to be, how are we going to work this? How are we going to do it? So at GoDaddy website builders, I went to them and got me a website, and I started building it. And I really didn't know much about building websites. But I had a good idea. I laid out a good plan. And when you go to IENTV.org, you'll see how this kind of formulated. And this is, we're rebuilding the website right now, but this is the basic foundation that we're going to have and that we're going with right now, because all these little projects that I have now are up and running and going full, 110%. And so, for example, at INTV.org, when you click on, you'll see a picture of me and the International Equine logo. And then you see live on 10/6, which is today, 2022, we have Racing Across America. And it's a series of racetracks that have come in, and part of a YouTube channel that we belong to. And you can watch live horse racing from various tracks in the United States. And it's really nice because you can get, five or six different tracks. You can see all the racing. And it ends up being about a 5-6 hour program. It's an all day, all afternoon type thing. And it's excellent, watching live thoroughbred horse racing. And so that's the thing that we do. We stay up to date. It's live and it's updated daily so that you can see live racing, when they're racing here in the United States. We have a lot of European racing. We'll have racing from Hong Kong and from Australia also. And that's for the thoroughbreds end of it. And that's what we, have at our first segment there that you can click on to. And then we started thinking about all the different things that, the equestrian would be looking for and what we're trying to do here at IEM. And we're trying to get weekly program, daily program, 24 hour a day, 7 days a week program. And so that's why the internet has become so important to us, to get out the information that we're trying to get out. So our next segment down, I got to thinking, how can I make life easier for the equestrian? And so I started thinking about, well, who is the best feed company in the world? Where can people go to a company and they can get feed delivered to them anywhere in the world? And so with my affiliation with the thoroughbred industry, and I've used them before, they're an excellent company, we've put a segment called Feeding Horses Around the World. And if you go to it, you'll see Hallway Feeds. It's www.hallwayfeeds.com. You'll see their logo, and you click onto their web address, and it takes you right to them. And they have all types of videos. They have all types of feeds for every breed. They cover all breeds anywhere in the world. And so that's kind of the theme that, you know, we have here at the International Equine Network. And so I'm trying to get all the companies that I deal with, you know, that they're related to all the industry and just not part of it. Because we're trying, like I said, we're trying to become the largest information distribution network in the world. And we're doing that through radio, we're doing that through internet, and we're doing that through television. And so if you go to Hallway Feeds, you can kind of see, you know, where we're going with this project. And then the next section we have over is called IEN Radio and TV Television Programming that we'll be bringing to you through the BBS Radio and TV Network and through our internet site. And what we do there is we do live and tape programming. And we have some things on there today, and this is how the journey started. We've got an American Quarter Horse live programming on our website today, and you can see what the American Quarter Horse Congress is like, which is a month-long thing in October in Ohio. And that takes you right to the site, and it starts early in the morning, and it's all day and all night thing. So that's part of our radio and television programming. And of course, we do more than just the Quarter Horse Congress. Every week, we'll have something different in our programming there. It might be a movie of the week for the family to enjoy that, you know, that you would like to watch. And you can click onto it, expand the screen, and you got a full-length movie, a commercial-free movie that you can watch with the family. And so that'll be on our programming, and we'll have our programming guide up here next week so that you can see what's coming on up every week. And so I got to thinking about that. So, you know, got that covered. And so then my next thing is consideration for all the horsemen, and this is all horsemen, all breeds, all countries. And I put in a thing on how the horsemen can live. It gets quite expensive in hotels and hard to find housing because you're traveling so much. So I went to Camping World and asked them if I could put a link on our website to Camping World. And when you click on to the Camping World link, it takes you to them and it tells you any and everything about Camping World, where their outlets are at, where their facilities are at. You know, it tells you any and everything that you need to know. You can find a dealer. You can find a repair shop. You can do everything, and you can also buy and sell your trailers there. And so every week we have a different trailer on there of what I think the horseman would like to have. Now, my experience with the campers has been with the Keystone Montana RL343. It's just like having your home with you. It has any and everything that you might need or want in your camper. And the thing I like about the campers, you can pull right up to your venue, your equestrian event, and you know it's like having your home right there. You can entertain your clients there. You can entertain your friends. You can have your home office in the camper. You know, it serves its purpose, and you don't have to be running back and forth to a hotel, you know, because you're right there at the facility, and it makes it very, very convenient for you to do that. And so, you know, we like that, and that's really good. Camping World will service everything that you need. And when you come to our site, when you click on one of our sections here and go to it, they'll answer any and every question and be able to help you. And so, you know, you're actually doing two clicks when you come to International Equine Network. One, to get to International Equine Network, and two, to get your questions answered by the different things that we have here, like Camping World, you know, our Hallway Feeds. And it's just two clicks, and, you know, your problems can be solved. And that's what we're doing there. And then one of the other things that I wanted to do, And I'm very big on these three things here that are very important to me and to equestrians everywhere. It's all about recognition. And, you know, if you can pat somebody on the back and tell them they did a good job, You know, that's really good. You know, we don't see that much anymore. We don't, you know, take time to recognize, you know, an equestrian or a business or a farm. In the business, you know, they need to be acknowledged that they're doing a good job, and you know that they are thought at a very high level by equestrians. And so, what I've done here is I have equestrian of the week, and we have this week we have Brandon Mills. He's the manager at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. He's the manager also of Palm Beach Downs Thoroughbred Training Facility and Delray Equestrian Facility. He manages all three of those properties. And under Brandon's management, Sunshine Meadows is the winter home of Lindy Farms. It's a world leader in the standardbred industry, and it's just unbelievable there. And he's also we also have we have Carriage Hill Farms, which is a huge, huge and top quality show horse facility. And these both are at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. And we've always looked at it, and I labeled Sunshine Meadows and Delray Equestrian as the home of past, present, and future champions. It's just amazing what they do there. And you know, Brandon can answer every need. He and his family are AQHA Hall of Famers, and they're just unbelievable in, you know, what he does there. And so that's what we try to do. And again, it goes back to our philosophy here. They are a facility that caters to all breeds and not just any, you know, just not any one breed, and which is really good. So we like that. And we give them recognition this week because of the service they provide, and they've done this for years, you know, to do that. And, for example, at Palm Beach Downs. Palm Beach Downs is the winter home of Always Dreaming and Monarchos and Super Saver that were Kentucky Derby winners. And we've had a multitude, probably 30 or more Breeders' Cup horses that have won their respective divisions in the Breeders' Cup, and, you know, stabled at the wintertime in Palm Beach Downs. And in fact, we have Todd Pletcher that's there now that has the second best horse in the world called Life is Good. And hopefully Life is Good in the Breeders' Cup, which we'll talk about later on in the show. Life is Good will come in and win the Breeders' Cup Classic and take that top spot in the thoroughbred world as being the best thoroughbred in the world. So we have that type of clientele at Sunshine Meadows and Palm Beach Downs. And when you're looking at you know the top trainer in the country, you know, that's earning a multitude of races every year, winning them, making over $24 million a year with his stable. And they're stable, you know, with us all through from September until May. And then they go out and they start on their, you know, on their summer schedule, which is good. And then we have Farm of the Week. And our Farm of the Week is also a part of the Sunshine Meadows. It's Carriage Hill Farms. And they have riders that ride all over the world. They ride all over the United States, and they produce in top show horses and top riders, you know, in the equine show horse industry. And John Beebe is an excellent owner and trainer there. John is a well-known, recognized jockey from back in the day, and now he's into the show horse business. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do. John does a little bit of everything, so we're not just, you know, focusing on one breed or one discipline, you know. So that, again, we're, you know, going back to our philosophy and our mission statement here at IEN is doing a little bit of everything. So that's why we have the Farm of the Week, and then we have Equestrian Business of the Week that we have also in this section, and it's Harness Link this week. is from my friend Steve Wolf over at Harness Link that we did flying turns from Freehold with. And Steve is the most knowledgeable person that I know in the standardbred industry. He's a Hall of Fame writer for Harness Link. He gives you day-to-day updates. Harness Link answer any question that you need to know about the standardbred industry, and you can go to their link and you can see what they do, and you know, it's really great, you know, to have that, you know, a person like Steve there that can tell you about all these different things. And again, it's another one of those companies that you go to, and they go all over the world, from Australia to New Zealand to Europe, you know, to the United States, and you can see any and everything that you need to know about the standardbred business. And so that's why we have the equine business of the week, and this week it's Harness Link. And so these three segments that we just talked about, I would like to invite any and all of our listeners, if you've got an equestrian of the week that you would like to recognize and praise and tell us why you think that they're the person that they are. And if you know a business of the week that you like, it could be a tax shop, it could be a transportation company, just as long as it's equestrian related. And if you know a farm that you stable at, if you have somebody that you think needs to be recognized, you call us at IENTV.org, 561-466-1272, or email us at IENEquineTV@gmail.com. We'll take your nomination and we'll put them up on our website and give them some recognition, and we can even talk to them and interview them on our International Equine Report on Thursdays. So give us a holler, you know, when you want to do that. And then we get down to our international equestrian events that we have, that we bring to you. And last weekend, we brought on October 2nd, and we brought to you live the Arc de Triomphe from Paris, France. And this is a win and you're in the Breeders' Cup. So the horses that wins the Arc de Triomphe, he was invited to come to the Breeders' Cup, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. And it was a very good program, you know, that we had there on Saturday, or, well, the weekend. It was the second. It was actually Sunday. But it was a great program, very exciting. They went behind the scenes. They talked to the owners and the trainers. And, you know, it was very, very great programming, you know, that we have. And I still left it up so that we could use this as an example of the international events that we bring to you. And we also bring more than just thoroughbred racing. We have horse shows. We've got a documentary that'll be coming up next week. It's about the Queen's stable and all the royal horses that she has. And we have, it'll be about the Windsor Horse Show that the Queen attended every year. And it's an amazing horse show. It gives you the inside knowledge of the equestrian industry that the Queen had, and the traditions and everything that goes along with that for Britain. And it's really a good, it's about an hour long documentary that you'll really enjoy. So then, again, like I say, we're going back to, you know, covering everything. I created a program called At the Wire. And what it is it's about thoroughbreds. And every day when you come to it, you'll see, you know, the different things that we have on there. And we have talking horses. It's a NYRA program from the New York Racing Association. And that comes on early in the day. And it talks about the racing at Aqueduct, at Belmont Park, at Saratoga. You know, it talks about all the live racing that's coming up in the state of New York. And so, like today, it's the 2022 Belmont at Aqueduct. And the reason they say Belmont at Aqueduct is they're rebuilding the racetrack at Aqueduct. They're putting in a new synthetic course. They're redoing the turf course, redoing the main track. They're putting a tunnel in so that next year when you go to Belmont Park, you can go out into the infield. And you could watch the horses in there. You can picnic and you can take the family. And it's just really a great thing. It's going to be like Churchill Downs at Derby time, and it'll be like Pimlico at Preakness time. And so they're added a lot to it there. So, you know, that's at the wire. And what we do there is we bring to you a lot of different racing from different tracks that you can go to and you can watch live. You know, watch the races, and that's every day. That's 7 days a week that you'll be able to watch at the wire. So we really hope you enjoy that. And then we go back to, again, to the horseman, thinking of the horseman. What can I do to help take care of the horseman? So since we have our Camping World segment on there, I figured we need to get something in there for the horsemen to eat. And so what we do is we have a program called Chuck Wagon. And on Chuck Wagon, we bring you different recipes for the camper, for people that go camping. And one of my favorite recipes that I've used many a time is it's called the Camper's Breakfast. And what you do is you take a slow cooker and you take all your ingredients and you put the recipe in the slow cooker. You plug it in the night when you go to bed. And then when you wake up the next morning to get ready to go to your event, your breakfast is done. And, I mean, it's got biscuits and sausage and it's got gravy and it's got hash browns and you name it. You can do whatever you want in that slow cooker if you follow the recipe. And it's fantastic because you save time. In the morning when you get up, you know, you just start eating and, you know, go out to your event or to your barn and train. So we put Chuck Wagon on there and we invite everybody to bring, send us your recipes and, you know, we can post your recipes and we can even do, you know, a video with you cooking your recipe at your barn or at your farm or at your house or, you know, at your camper. You know, you can do that. So, you know, we encourage you to send us your recipes. And then one other thing that we're going to be doing this year is we're going to have a Triple Crown season with the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. We're going to have the week of each one of those events, we're going to highlight a cook or a chef or an equestrian that will give us their recipe for the Kentucky Derby week. And at the Kentucky Derby this year, or in 2023, we're going to select a jockey, and that jockey is going to come on, and we're going to do a program on his recipe and what he does for Derby week. And then we'll do the same thing in Baltimore for the Preakness. For the Preakness Stakes, we'll have a trainer that to Preakness is going to come on, and that trainer is going to tell us, you know, how he cooks and gets ready for Preakness week. And we're doing this with different people throughout the Triple Crown with one goal in mind, the Breeders' Cup. So we've got the jockey for the Kentucky Derby. We've got the trainer for the Preakness. And then at the Belmont Stakes in New York, we're going to have an owner. And we're going to have an owner come on and let us know what they do Belmont week for their, you know, their celebration of the Belmont Stakes. And so we'll do a little program for that. And then in November, we go to the Breeders' Cup. And we're going to have all three of those chefs come in. And we're going to have them compete at the Breeders' Cup for the Breeders' Cup champion. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the jockey, the trainer, and the owner go head-to-head on this, you know, culinary competition. And later on in fact, this year at Breeders' Cup time, We're going to announce who the celebrity chef will be that will judge the contest in the 2023 Breeders' Cup. We'll have a celebrity chef that will come aboard. He is a horse owner, and so he will judge the three, and we will have a winner at the 2023 Breeders' Cup. And so, you know, that's something that we're doing, trying to make it entertaining, you know, for what we're doing. So after we've gone through At the Wire, Chuck Wagon, and we're at Chucker. And Chucker right now is a polo program that what we do is we go to and we show international polo, well, domestic and international polo. And it's really a great thing that we do there. It takes you behind the scenes. It shows you the matches live and taped from all over the world. And polo is a unique and different sport. It's a huge field, and most of the polo ponies are thoroughbreds. So it gives the thoroughbred, after they retire from racing, a second life, you know, to go to. And so that's really interesting. And it's really unbelievable. And you'd be surprised where they play polo at. That's about every country has a polo field, and they're literally our top-notch players, and we bring you all kinds of tournaments from all over the world. So that's Chucker, and I think you'll really enjoy that. And they'll tell you also you can find out where you can find polo locally wherever you live at when you go to Chucker. That'll tell you that. And then we have Flying Turns. Flying Turns is our standard bred program. And if you have a harness question, our standard bred story, video, or business, send it to IEN, and we'll make sure that it gets out on Flying Turns. And we'll have you on there, and you can tell us about it. But Flying Turns brings you live and taped racing and live sales from all over the world. We have standard bred racing come to you from Sweden and from France and from the United States. And, you know, every time you turn in every week, you don't know where it'll be coming from, but you'll find out when you tune in, you know, to Flying Turns. And then we have the International Equine Report, which what we're doing today. We're doing that. We have a program from the AQHA. It's on the Quarter Horse Congress there today. And then we'll do a lot of different reports from a lot of different breeds. We try to do, you know, a different breed every week. And then, of course, we have our program here on BBS every week that we come in. And I kind of highlight, you know, a lot of things that we have on our network, whatever is going on, you know, this week in the equine industry. And so since it was Quarter Horse, the Quarter Horse Congress is this month, we had to, you know, put some things on there about the Quarter Horse Congress. And all. So then we come jump over to Quest for Equine Gold. And this is a show that I think a lot of people really like because it's interesting. More interesting, more so than all the other programs, and I'll tell you why. It's about show horse jumping, stadium jumping, dressage, three-day eventing. You know, it's all about the show horse industry. And it's amazing. Some of the shows that we go to, and we're lucky here because every year we had, and I named it Quest for Equine Gold because all the show horse people are pointing towards the Olympics and the Pan American Games. That's their big Super Bowl every 4 years and every 2 years that they have, you know, that they go for. And so we named it Quest for Equine Gold. And what I like about here in South Florida is I'm able to attend the Global Champions Tour. And if you go to www.globalchampions.com, you can see where their different events are. And what I like about that is they go to 12 different countries. And well, actually, it's only 11 because they do two here in the United States. They do one at Miami, and they literally have put in Miami Beach, have built a show horse arena on the beach, right next to the ocean, right on the beach. And let me tell you, that's one of the greatest shows to go to because they've got plenty of hotels around there. You can stay in a hotel and you can watch the show from there. You go right down to the beach. It's just an amazing facility, and it's just unbelievable that you can sit there and you can look out at the Show Horse Arena, and the backdrop is the Atlantic Ocean. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight to go to. And then the other place they have here in the United States is New York City. And let me tell you, the backdrop at New York City is equal to Miami as any venue that they have when you go there. The Statue of Liberty, the city itself, it's just an amazing event to go to in New York City. And I would rate it right up there. If you're going to go to New York City, you want to go to Broadway and see a show, and then you want to go see the Global Equestrians Tour when it's there. So, you know, it's really a good thing to go see. And then they have other shows from Madrid, Spain. They have shows from Paris, and you know, it's just endless, the countries that they go to. And each one is a special, show in itself. And it's really, really interesting to see. And that's our Quest for Equine Gold show. I think you'll really like it. And you'll see who's going to the Olympics and, you know, who is who and what's what and what shows where. And especially when you go like to FEI or USEF website, you can see who's in your area, you know, who's showing in your area. And that's from the little shows up to the big shows. You know, it's just, they give you all the information. And then we move over to Last Call. This is for all breeds. It's about live equine auctions. And what I like about this is it's for all breeds. And you see some amazing horses that are sold. You go right into the venue. And most of these sales, in fact, just about all the sales that you'll see here, you can attend yourself as a spectator. You don't have to be a buyer, but you can go to the November sale coming up and that we have coming up for Fassick Tipton. It's in Lexington, Kentucky, and it'll be 11. The November is the 6th, and you can go right to the Fassick Tipton facility there, and you can park your car, you can get out, you can pick you up a book, and you can walk in and watch horses sell for $1 million. You'll see some of the future Derby winners there, Belmont winners, Preakness winners, Arc de Triomphe winners. You can see everything there. And it doesn't cost anything to go to. They have good food there. You can pick you up a book, and you don't have to know anything about them. You can start looking at the books, and a lot of my friends that have gone that knew nothing about the horses, they'll grab a book and they'll start, playing a game with each other. They'll say, okay, hip number 47, I think he's going to sell for $100,000. And, you know, somebody might say $1 million, and he might sell for 25, or he might sell for $1 million. It's good. It's enjoyment. You get to walk around. You can walk around to the different barns. You can look at the horses, get up close and in person with them, and then you can watch them go through the sale ring. And those are the future racing stars, of the business. And it's really worth going to that you can see. And then our next event is Quarter Time. It's about the American Quarter Horse, how they were developed and the things that they do. It's the real American cowboy. Like they have the Quarter Horse Congress. There's so much about AQHA and the quarter horse industry that they can't do it all in one weekend like they do, for the Thoroughbreds or for the Olympics. This is a month-long thing that goes on for the Quarter Horse Congress. It starts in October and runs all the way to the end of October. So if you go to AQHA.com, and our website link, you can find out all about the quarter horse and how you can participate in it. And you can find out about all the locations where there's rodeos, where there's shows, where there's sales. It tells you any and everything about the American cowboy and the American quarter horse and how they became, America's horse. you know, and they also have a section in there for the international quarter horses, which is really interesting, you know, to see people in foreign countries, you know, that are barrel racing and doing the things that they do here in the United States. It's really good, you know, to watch. And then our last segment that we have is 0 to 10. It's live. We have a live dressage program on there today. You just click on the link and it will take you to live dressage programming. And dressage is really an interesting sport in the horse industry. Like thoroughbreds are bred to run, standardbreds are bred to trot, quarter horses are bred to work farms, you know, and do what they do. So it's kind of interesting. But what's dressage is an acquired sport. The trainers that train dressage horses have to teach the horses the dance. They literally dance to music, and they have to teach it. It's not something that's born into them. It's an acquired discipline that they have to be taught, and it takes years and years for the horses to dance and do what they do. Day to day, you know, 6 days a week, you know, they're training before they take it and get ready to perform. And it's a beautiful sport. It's a beautiful sport, and it's just unbelievable that what they have to do there. And later on in the year, we're going to have a little segment on a lady by the name of Liz Hartley that won an Olympic medal back in the day when men were just riding dressage. And it's a great story. You'll love to hear it. So be watching for that on 0 to 10 that we have. And then we come down. We've got the international, domestic and international equine events that will highlight a different international event, a different domestic event live, you know, every week. We'll have that there. And then we have a good segment that it's the Breeders' Cup 2022. It tells you there who is and who isn't going to the Breeders' Cup. Tells you all about it. And then we have a segment called When and You're In. If you win a race, When and You're In race, then you're automatically qualified for the Breeders' Cup. All the fees for the Breeders' Cup are paid. The transportation is paid to any of the horses that wins a Win and You're In race that's stabled outside of the state that the Breeders' Cup is being held in. So, for example, it's being held in Lexington, Kentucky this year. It's being held on the 4th and 5th of this year at Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, Kentucky. If you're in California, you win and you're in, you get everything paid to get you to the Breeders' Cup. If you're in Europe, you win and you're in like they did with the Arc de Triomphe. You win and you're in, all your expenses are paid to the Breeders' Cup. So that's always interesting to find, watch that race, because it keeps you up to date on who has won and who hasn't to get in. And all. And then this is my favorite program of all times that I originally, this was my original thought when I was a little kid. I thought about it. I'm doing a documentary, and it's called How They Get There, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And so you don't have to be a horseman to watch this documentary. It's going to be a one-hour documentary, and it's going to be for national broadcast coming the third week in April, the week of the Kentucky Derby, that we're going to broadcast this. It's called How They Get There, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And like I said, you don't have to be a horseman to watch this, but it's going to give you the behind the scenes of what it takes to get a horse to the Kentucky Derby. And the journey starts with the owner. The owner, if without the owner, nobody goes to the Derby. We sit down and we talk with an owner, and we talk about what they're doing and how they're doing it, and you know, what made them decide to go to the Kentucky Derby. And being that I worked at One Star Farm, we're going to look at One Star Farm and follow One Star Farm all year long on how they get their horses to the Kentucky Derby. like they did with Always Dreamin' a few years ago, and like they did with Super Saver. And it's very interesting, you know, this part of it, because the owner has to make all the decisions, and everything really and honestly falls on that owner to make sure that the journey, you know, is the right journey and how they get there. And the first decision that he makes is he has to hire a trainer to train his horses. So he finds out and he selects a trainer like Windstar has done, and they have Todd Pletcher. And Todd Pletcher, like I said again, he's with us over at Palm Beach Downs in the wintertime, so it makes it easier for me to follow him because, you know, he's right next door to me. And also, the owner meets with the trainer, and he says, Todd, he said, I've got this horse that, I'm looking at, and, we've raised some here at the farm. Let's pick us a horse and let's our horses and get to the Kentucky Derby this year in 2023. So they have a good powwow session. They talk about it, and they see which horses they'd like to do. And, whether it's a horse that they bred at the farm or whether it's a horse that they bought or, privately, or they've gone to the sales, and buy a horse. That's where Todd and the owner get together. So after they select the horse, the next step that the owner and trainer have to do is make a decision about how they're going to get the horse around to the different races. And so what they do is they select a transportation company, and like Brookledge Horse Transportation is probably one of the best transportation companies in the country. And so you go to Brookledge and you call Brad Gottwalls and tell him, say, Brad, we've got some horses on the road to the Kentucky Derby this year. We're going to be going to Hot Springs. We're going to be going to Pimlico. We're going to be going to New York. We're going to be going to Florida. We're going to be going to California. And you sit down with your transportation company and you get all this lined up before you start racing, because you got to have everything that you can take care of in one little meeting or two little meetings, so that you don't have a lot of things coming down on you every day while you're on the road to the Kentucky Derby. You eliminate a lot of headaches by doing this. Then, after you get your transportation lined up, you come in and you have your blacksmith. You sit down and you talk with your blacksmith, and we're going to talk to Steve Norman, which is probably the best thoroughbred blacksmith in the country, and he can tell you what to do and how to do it. Because I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of trainers come in and tell blacksmiths what to do, and they've never shod a horse before. But Steve has shod Derby winners, and he can tell you what to do and how to do it. So you set up with Steve. You say, Steve Norman, we're going to the Derby. This is our schedule. Can you be in Hot Springs to put shoes on a horse? Can you be in New York to put shoes on a horse when he needs it? So you eliminate that headache. So that's taken care of. Then you go to the next step is you go to Hallway Feeds. You tell them at Hallway Feeds, said, okay, guys, we're on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And Hallway Feeds has fed quite a few Derby winners in their day. And so you tell them where you're going and where you're going to be at. And then you solidify the fact that you're going to be in Hot Springs on so-and-so date, and there's Hallway Feed there waiting for you. Or you're going to be in California, or you'll be in Florida. It's all there waiting for you. So that's another headache that's eliminated. And then, like I said, the key point is the equine sales. You always go to all the two-year-old and training sales, to see what they're doing and how they're doing. Because a two-year-old training sale literally can get you a horse that's already conditioned and ready-made and could be a potential Derby winner. Derby winners have come out of the two-year-old sales. And then that way the owner, he bypasses a lot of the expenses of raising it from a yearling, to breaking him and training him, and he comes pretty much ready-made. They breeze the 3/8 of a mile several times, and you know what you're pretty much getting, and then you can just continue on the journey to the Kentucky Derby with a horse that's got a good foundation under him. And so that's another owner-trainer thing. So, just like the feed and all the other things that we just talked about, become an owner, trainer, decision type of thing. And then the one thing that as interesting as the Kentucky Derby in itself. The Kentucky Derby in itself is a something that you have to look at, and there's a format that Churchill Downs has set aside. The Kentucky Derby is the greatest thoroughbred race in the world. It's been around forever, since 1875. It was the first Derby, May 17th. It's the first Saturday in May every year. It's a mile and a quarter, 10 furlongs or 2 kilometers. Secretariat holds the record there. It's a minute, 59 and 4. It's just unbelievable, you know, that record's never been broken. It's a dirt surface with left-handed turns. It's for 3-year-olds only. Colton Gildings, carry 126 pounds. A filly would carry 121 pounds, and it's $3 million purse. It's $1,800,000 to the winner. So you know, you can see why everybody, you know, wants to run the Kentucky Derby, because of this prestige and everything that you know, that goes along with all the Derby. And we'll get into the Derby report every week. We'll get into it every week. Well, in order to get to the, you just can't just go to the Derby and say, you know, I want to run in the Derby. The field is limited to 20 horses, and there's a point system that you have. The Kentucky Derby, the people at Churchill Downs have set up a point system for the road to the Kentucky Derby. They have a prep season with initial prep events, and then they have select prep events, and then they have the championship series events. And it has the first leg, second leg, and a wild card event. And it's both for Europe and for Asia and for the United States. And I kind of like this, because it goes back again to the owner and to the trainer. You got to plan your Derby journey out. And they have a series of races that come up. And they start literally with the Breeders' Cup Futurity at Kingland for 2-year-olds and Breeders' Cup Day. That's where they really get going at. But actually, the first race that you get points in is in September. It was September 17th of 2022. It was the Iroquois State at Churchill Downs. It's a good race. It's a $300,000 added. And it's a win. It gives you points when you go to it. And so that's the first one that starts 2-year-olds. It's a good race. I tell you, it's not bad. You win that thing, and you know, you got $178,000 in your pocket, and you know, you're on your road to the Kentucky Derby. And it's a good race because it tests your 2-year-old to see how good he is, to see if he can, you know, stand the competition, and then you kind of make a decision, you know, from that. And, you know, it's good. Curly Jack won it this year for Tom Amos. You know, the owner's Michael McLaughlin. And so now he's sitting down with Tom Amos and mapping out their to the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, like we said, you got to earn the points to get in. And, you know, the more points you got, you know, you're ahead of the game, and you'll get a guaranteed spot, you know, in the Kentucky Derby. And so the next race that came along was October 1st. It was the Champagne Stakes, and it was in Aqueduct this year, and it was a great race. You know, it was a tough race. So we had the Champagne Stakes there. And I was really glad to see that race come up, you know, for everybody. You know, the funny thing about it is that I saw this race, and it was a small field. It was a 5-horse field, and it was really interesting. And so now another trainer comes in, and that trainer, you know, wins the race, and he's got to sit down with his owner and talk about their road to the Kentucky Derby. And so all year long, leading up to the Kentucky Derby, you've got all these prep races that come in. And our next prep races will be coming this Saturday. Literally, just about every Saturday, there's a prep race, you know, up there. this Saturday out at Santa Anita Park. It's a grade one race up there. It's going a mile and a 16th. It's called the American Faro Stakes. It's at 4:30 Pacific time. It'll be on our website. You'll be able to see that. It's an 8-horse field, and I just want to ask you if you know who might win it. Bob Baffert has got 4 horses in this 8-horse field. So he's back and ready to go, and that's going to be interesting to see. And then the other race that we have is the Breeders' Cup Futurity, which is at Keeneland Racetrack. And that's going to be interesting. They've got a 16-horse field that they're going to have there. And Todd Pletcher has a horse in there. Forte, he's there. He's got Lost Ark in there. And then again, Bob Baffert has, you know, a couple of horses in there. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this road, you know, takes its directions. In each one of these races that are won by these trainers, you have to take and look down the road where you're going to go. Now, granted, you can't run a horse, you know, 10 times, you know, and get to the Derby. I mean, you could, but it's highly unlikely because you got to earn the points, you know, to get to the Derby. And so we have the American Faro, we have the Breeders' Cup Breeders' Futurity, and then the next big race is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and the first of November at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup. And then the next one is right after that, is the Kentucky Jockey Club, and that's November 26th, you know, at Churchill Downs. And then, you know, it starts all over again. You got the Remsen on December 2nd, Los Alamitos Futurity December 10th, and, you know, it goes right on up and right into the Derby. And so, you know, the owners and trainers have a lot to look forward to, you know, when they go there. And so that's on how they get there. And I'm going to name me a horse hand now because I say that a lot. That's what I'm going to do. That's my next project, name a horse and But no kidding, folks. How they get there, this documentary is going to be highlighted every week with new information on our website. And then at the end of the racing season, the week of the Derby, you're going to see an hour-long documentary, and you'll be able to see how we put together the interviews with the trainers, the owners. We'll show you how they fly horses, how they ship horses on vans, how they get their feet done, what kind of food they eat, what they look like when they go through the sales, how they're making decisions to go through the Kentucky Derby, you know, the prep races. And then the best part of the whole program is going to be the decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. And what we do is we have the trainer, all the people involved, and they're going to come in, and you're going to see that. And then you're going to like the beginning of the show. We'll be pulling up in a van to a farm. And when the driver gets to the farm, he's going to get out of the truck, and the little girl's going to run out of the barn, and she's going to say, "Are you taking our horse to the Kentucky Derby?" And the driver says, yes, we are. We're taking your horse to the Kentucky Derby. And she turns around and she looks to you in the camera and says, "How do they get there?" And then we go through what we just talked about. And then at the end of the program, at the farm, we put a camera on the horse and we show him loading up onto the van. We got a camera on his halter. You're going to see him ride down the road to Churchill Downs. And when he gets off, you're going to see all the people. You're going to see the Twin Spires Farm. And that's when I say, and that's how they get there. So we hope you tune in to IENTV, Equine Report. And we hope you call us. And it looks fun. And I'm back. And I'm healthy. And I'm raring and ready to go. So thank you for joining us on the International Equine Report. And thanks for all the prayers that you guys sent to me. And that got me through all the troubles that I had in the last year. So look forward to seeing you next week on International Equine Report.